The president gets a new economic counselor.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. Hey, there's a job opening at the White House. It's already filled. Austin Goolsbee is expected to be named today top economic advisor to President Obama. Here to tell us more, Marketplace's Scott Tong is live in Washington. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Bill.
What does the head of the Council of Economic Advisors do?
Well, the council is three economists who give objective advice to the president. That's the official description. So the head of the council is a leading economic voice inside the White House. And right now, that's obviously a big deal because, as the president likes to say, jobs and recovery are the top priorities. Mm-hmm. All this week, as you know, the administration has been rolling out new ideas, like spending on new roads and spurring business investment. And we can assume Austin Goolsbee's ideas are embedded in those plans. He's already a member of the Council of Economic Advisors, which he is now going to head.
And what does Austin Goolsbee bring to the job, besides a cool name?
Well, Goolsbee is 41 years old. He's a close friend of the president, both taught at the University of Chicago. And despite the Chicago school's free market reputation, Goolsbee is not considered a conservative economist. He's long opposed, for instance, the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. Mr. Goolsbee comes into a White House in personnel flux. He replaces council head Christina Romer, and the top budget director Peter Orszag also departed. And by the way, Bill, Goolsbee does stand-up comedy and The Daily Show, in case you're not into economic briefings.
Yes, I believe I've seen that appearance. Marketplace's Scott Tong, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
California passed a law a few years ago to cut carbon emissions, and now there's a proposition on the November ballot to put that measure on hold until the state economy improves. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
California's unemployment rate is one of the highest in the country, more than 12%. State Assemblyman Dan Logue says energy costs will go up if California makes companies reduce emissions as planned. And then...
we're going to have an exodus of businesses either leaving or closing. It's just not the right time.
Logue's Proposition 23 would suspend California's so-called global warming law until unemployment drops to 5.5%. and stays there for a year. Georgetown University economist Vicky Arroyo says energy costs have gone up under California's emissions law, but those extra dollars drive a growing clean energy market.
Why would they cut off this progress in an area that's showing growth when so many other areas of the economy are not?
The two sides of the issue are head-to-head in spending on the ballot measure. Two Texas oil companies funded most of the $8 million behind Proposition 23 thus far. Clean energy venture capitalists have put up almost $7 million to fight it. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Some decent economic figures coming out of Japan helped the Nikkei jump today. Asian stocks in general were up. China's August trade surplus was the second highest this year, and that will likely add to the pressure for Beijing to ease its currency controls. European markets are pretty flat today. The Dow is coming off another gain, up 28 points yesterday. That's a quarter of a percent. The close was 10,415.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
Now to our series on how the recession and recovery are being felt in the heartland. Lots of Americans live in the flight path of an airport, but then most of those planes take off and land during the day. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson found an airport in Tennessee where the real action happens at night, and residents don't seem to mind.
That might sound like an airport runway, but it's actually a leafy residential neighborhood in Memphis called Cooper Young, and it's right in the flight path of Memphis International, home of FedEx.
It's been going on so long, you just don't even think anything about it. It's like living next to a railroad track, I guess.
I caught up with Steve Crayer taking the garbage out at his Cooper Young home. That's just a few miles north of the airport.
I'd hate to think what Memphis would be like if FedEx wasn't here.
That's easy for Crayer to say. He's one of the 32,000 Memphians who work for the city's top employer slash noisemaker, FedEx. His neighbor, Kip Gordon, isn't.
Can you sleep through it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And at this point, honestly, I've been here so long with it that I think if it stopped, I might have problems sleeping. Yeah.
In fact, University of Memphis sociologist Phyllis Betts told me it's as if FedEx CEO Fred Smith can do no wrong here.
Fred Smith is like the biggest thing next to Elvis.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to Graceland, the main FedEx sorting facility at Memphis International. The action starts every night around 11 p.m. FedEx VP John Donovan has invited me up to the company's control tower.
Total aircraft inbound tonight would be about 144. I think it's right about 1.6 million packages is what we'll sort tonight.
All those planes coming in from as far away as Hong Kong land within a couple of hours, making this the world's busiest cargo airport. The planes are unloaded and all the packages are swiftly sorted through a matrix of conveyor belts. After that, they're loaded onto different planes, and around 2 a.m., it's takeoff time. The airport authority says it gets about 12 complaints a year about the noise, though a spokesman joked, most airports get at least 12 noise complaints a day. In Memphis, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And Jeremy asked everyone he met in Tennessee whether they're seeing signs of the recovery. You can watch his slideshow and tell us your experience at marketplace.org. And finally, here's the whole week's business news in just a Marketplace minute. The head of HP, Mark Hurd, we don't know what exactly occurred. Suspicious expenses, flimsy defenses, the board wasn't taking his word. So then Oracle said in reply, we'll take him, Hurd's a great guy. Now, as of this writing, the two firms are fighting. And I still don't understand why. Then there's BP's claim they're not solely to blame for the leaking that came from the rupture and flame. And there's more fiscal drama surrounding Obama because he's defending an increase in spending. And if he relaxes some corporate taxes, the deficit grows. Is it worth it? Who knows? And goodbye to the CEO of Nokia from Marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Follow me on Twitter at Bill Radke Radio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.